Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to episode 2 of Babysitting Trevor with me, Chris Martin.
And me, Carl Donnelly. And hopefully, Trevor Crook.
Yeah. Why hopefully?
Because he's got to make his own way here today. As we mentioned last week, Trevor is not somebody who is great at directions.
He's not.
So hopefully he'll be arriving, where we'll be finding out how he got on with last week's homework.
We sort of appointed ourselves as temporary carers for Trev.
Yeah.
Where we sort of look after him and his marriage.
Yeah.
And mainly make everyone laugh along the way.
Yeah, because Trevor is a man who is...
He's an enigma.
He is an enigma. He's one of a kind. He's a comedian like us, but sort of...
He's not like us in many, many ways.
He's not like anyone.
He's not like anyone.
I don't think most people find comedy.
He's his own species,
I think comedy,
mate,
found Trevor.
Yeah, it did. He's his own species.
So yeah, each week we're going to set Trevor homework tasks, just try and give him sort of a bit of direction, because he tends to just sit around in his pants all day and then go and do sort of weights.
So this week, my task for Trev was to go to the zoo.
Yeah.
I don't know if he enjoyed it, but I know he went because, listeners, cliffhanger, ruin now, I met him. He was definitely late because he got lost and he doesn't go on the tube, but we got him to the zoo.
You got
him
to the
zoo. Me, him, brought my wife as a little incentive to him, because I know he likes attractive ladies. So I sort of brought her like a little bit of like a carrot on a stick for a donkey.
And so you know he definitely
went. I think he quite enjoyed it. He wasn't dressed for it. He was panicked.
What, not dressed? How do you dress for a zoo?
Well, it was freezing, and
didn't know there was like a dress code.
No. Yeah, he wasn't wearing black shoes and collared shirt. No, yep. So he definitely came.
Yep.
I think he enjoyed it, but we'll find out.
Be good to find out. We had the new recurring task, which is a poem, which I think we're both quite excited about week's absolute banger of a poem.
Yeah, he's going to write about the zoo.
Oh, he's going to write, he's going to write a poem about a zoo, which is something like an 8-year-old would normally have to do. But it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And my task for him, which I'll be very surprised if he did, was to cook a romantic meal for his lovely wife, Julia.
Well, you're a bit of a cook yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a decent cook. But it, you know, and it's that thing where a lot of people think cooking takes effort. And I think Trevor definitely is one of those people.
Yeah.
So it doesn't strike me as something he would have...
I don't cook much.
No.
And I'm much more active than Trev.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's done it.
I'm going to predict he didn't. I reckon he did, but it was bad.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much already prepared.
Yeah.
Ready-made ingredients he just chucked into something.
Okay. Let's find out.
Let's see how he got on.
Right, welcome, Trev.
Hello, I'm here. What's happening, fuck all? What has happened, fuck all? Now, a bit of a health scare.
There was a health scare this week, wasn't there?
I'm hypochondriac. I'm a very bad hypochondriac. It's like I'm dying, whatever I get. I'm dying. So I just know that I'm getting a bit of a tight head, and I thought, fuck it, so I Google everything. So, one of those cyber chondriacs, whatever they call them.
Cyberchondriac? I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
People who go online for everything, that's what I do. Anything at all, I'm going fucking tap, tap, tap. Jeez, a big list come down of what I could have. All fatal.
Was headache not at the top of the list?
It wasn't a real bad, just a tension, like was that my head was in a fucking vice. Some fucker was squeezing it, and I thought, what the fuck is this? And it could be high blood pressure. So I got a blood pressure kit, And
well, your blood pressure kit.
Of course you did. I rushed up and got a blood pressure kit.
You bought? Can you buy them in the shops?
Yeah, for 30 quid. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'll get to the bottom of this shit.
You literally went out and bought a blood pressure kit.
Yeah.
And is it like one of the ones the doctors, you put it on your arm?
Well, it's not
squeeze.
As good as that. It's like low quality, made in Taiwan or somewhere. Yeah, it just fucking knows. I didn't know how accurate it was.
It's made in Taiwan, the well-known terrible blood pressure kit country.
It was pretty high, you know, but then I was stressing out because I thought it was going to die.
Is that why it was high, though? Because you were stressing out?
Yeah, a lot of stress. It spiked during the day. You could be having a moment of stress and it could be like 190 over 110, which is like stroke, basically.
Yeah.
But then it will come down again. It's only if it stays up. Yeah, you're basically fucked. So I checked. It was 154 over 93, which is appalling because I'm fit. I run and all that sort of shit. So I think, and I phoned Jewel up to tell us I'm fucking in a bad way, and I couldn't get her. You know, I was like, she was out drinking piss with some bloke, and you know, she likes to drink a lot. And she was out hitting the piss with some bloke, and I'm getting more and more stressed out. And I checked it again; it was even higher.
Yeah,
like 168.
You thought your wife was having an affair.
I know. I fucking had all these inner monologues. When Julie comes home, I'll fucking say to her, "What are you doing? Who am I? I'm fucking near dead, and you're fucking about having a good time and not giving a fuck about me."
Long story short, probably just a headache, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I went to the doctors the next day, I'll go to the doctors, I'm fucking stressing out. And then she took it three times. She said, it's completely normal.
It was just your rubbish Taiwanese
blood
pressure kit.
She had one from China, so it's just selling the
correct. I think it's got some deal with the doctors where you take your blood pressure, it's all fucking skyrocketing, and you rush off to the doctors, and they've got some racket going, basically.
Where are they making the money? The NHS.
Oh, yeah,
NHS. It's a free appointment.
Yeah,
did you slip her a tenner on the way out?
Don't they get paid? How do the doctors get paid? Do they,
I don't think they get paid per visit.
Oh, they don't get paid
per visit. I think they're pretty full.
NHS doctors. Private doctors probably have a...
Oh, in Australia, you get paid by the visit.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
So your doctor's paid. Doctor's gutted you're in the UK right now.
I once got rushed to hospital because my blood pressure was so high. I was 24 years old.
Right, what caused it?
I was 25, actually. It was at the Edinburgh Festival 2007.
Right.
Thinking
about your career, was it? Skyrocket.
Yeah, it was the amount of money I was spending to be there. I got asked to do a press thing where they check your blood pressure and, you know, as part of how stressful is the Fringe.
Yeah.
But what they didn't realise was I showed up to the press thing. It was in the morning and I'd been on an all-night drinks and drugs booze session. And that was back in my youth when I was a wild one. And basically they checked my blood pressure and told me I got rushed to A&E because I had incredibly high blood pressure and I had an irregular heartbeat.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Why was it so high, mate?
Because I was munted. I probably smoked 40 fags on the walk to the bloody thing.
Yeah.
Here's something else I did this week. I went out with a bunch of old friends I hadn't seen in a while, and you know, we went drinking. Like, went to a club which I've not been to in a long time. And you said something to me a while back that is so true. Mid-30s, a bunch of mid-30s men in a club, and we were in a club. Actually, it was quite good. It was a more mature clientele. It wasn't full of 20-year-olds. It was like, you know, it's probably most people in there were over 30, but it just stank of farts. If you go to a bar or a club, that is people over 30, it just stinks.
Yeah.
Well, just because when you're drinking it, your bowels just go
Do you reckon it's because when you're over 30, you just don't care as much, so you just let it out? Whereas I think people in their early 20s were a bit more worried about what people think. Whereas
my mate Aidan did one that cleared the dance floor for about 5 minutes. And the thing is, one of them ones where he didn't own up to it until like 15 minutes later when everything had calmed down. This hot, horrific smell hit the dance floor. Everyone was looking at each other going, "That is disgusting." Everyone was blaming each other. Different groups were blaming different groups. And then 10 minutes later, I just went to Aidan. I went, "I bet that was you." And he went, "Yeah, it was me, wasn't it?"
When was the last time you hit a nightclub?
I suppose during the 70s, when I was really younger, I never liked them. It was too much noise. I'm not really my element. If people can't hear me talk, my talking is my strong point. Everything else fades fucking rapidly.
You're quite a quiet talker as well.
Yeah, I'm quite a talker. So when it came to discos, I get all the right gear. I had platform shoes, fuck, I was about 8 foot tall, these fucking colossally big heels, and I had yellow, bright yellow flares and a coloured body shirt, flowery.
Yes. Are there any photographs of this period? Mate,
yeah, I've got some photographs somewhere.
You still got the tash. You still got the tash from the 70s.
I was walking up the road one day and dressed like that, and these hoons, as we call them, hoons, they pulled up in a car, and one of them rolled down his window and said, "Hey, mate, how would you like a punch in the fucking head?" I'm going, think about that. Yeah.
You can't run anywhere in your massive shoes.
Yeah, that's right. They were absolutely, I looked like a clown. But it looked all right at the time.
What did you say when he asked you that question?
I said, no thanks. He said, all right.
It's annoying not having
really
an automatic
really polite. Yeah. Just sort of, he just went, oh, okay, no, don't worry about it. That's what I checked.
Oh, you want to go to the zoo? What, at Clapham Junction on Saturday night?
So this week's homework, Trev, what did we do?
Went to the zoo and I wrote a poem.
You wrote your poem, which I think is going to be a weekly thing, but the initial one was, last week you said you were up for going to the zoo. We sent you to the zoo.
Yeah.
When you say sent, you did go.
So this is another thing about Trev that people might not know at home is I, with producer Joel, who's with us right now, we had to, you've got to have to explain to people why this is. I emailed you and your wife and I said, we're going to go to the zoo. I had to tell you to meet me at 2 o'clock at Nike Town.
Yeah.
In Piccadilly, and we had to get an Uber with you because you don't have a phone, do you?
No, I don't. No,
it felt like I was last time I've done that is when I was 30. Yeah, and you went for someone with no form of communicate. And the other thing is, it's by Oxford Circus where I said to meet you, but you don't get the tube, do you?
No, I don't like the tube. No.
Why? Because of claustrophobia.
Yeah, claustrophobia.
Terrorism as well.
I suppose in 2000 when the bombs went off, I suppose that sort of gave me a bit of a thought about, maybe the tube not a good idea. But then they blew up a bus as well. I mean, where does it end? I mean,
where does it end? Tube buses?
They take up blow up a taxi, then you go, you're stranded.
Might blow up Boris Bikes.
That's right.
Very pinpoint terrorism.
Yeah, I got very claustrophobic because I've got all these phobias and I've had them since I was a kid. Claustrophobia is very bad, actually. Australia's worse for it because it's very hot. And very close.
Yeah.
So you're constantly at night, you're fucking freaking out sometimes.
But it's a bigger country, so does that balance it out as much space?
It's not, but I don't have a bigger bedroom.
Yeah. All
right. The country can be massive, but my bedroom is like 12 by 8 or something. So.
That's true logic.
Okay. So anyway, we were waiting, and then you come running up the road. The bus broke down. You had to run up from Trafalgar Square.
Ran from Trafalgar
Square. Not at all dressed for the weather as well. It was so cold, and you were just wearing jeans and just pretty much just a jumper.
An old jumper that's made out of synthetic shit.
And then downstairs now, you'd made a point about, what's the thing you got with your shoes?
Yeah, I've got a hole in the tops of my shoes.
How do you get that?
I've got an upturned toe. Big toe on both feet, and if I don't trim my nails, they like fucking talons. They go straight through my socks.
I mean, you've literally got two big holes in the top of the
bones. He's got two huge holes in each foot.
Yeah.
He arrived at reception with two holes in his shoes, carrying a Tesco's carrier bag.
That's right.
Looking like a lunatic.
Yeah, I know, it's fucked, isn't it? Yeah.
You don't cut your nails and they cut through your shoes.
Yeah, I get very slack with my nails. Before I cut my nails, I've got to do a certain amount of stretching so I can get down there and cut them. Right. What I mean? But I need to cut them now. Yeah.
Is that when you've got a hole in each shoe like that?
Tube stations where there's a guy that shines your shoes.
Yeah.
It should be a nail chopper.
Mm-hmm.
You set up on the same, but they split the sort of seat with thing.
Julia is a victim of my toes in bed. Fucking hell, I just puncture her. She's like, just puncture marks all over her legs. My toenails just...
How regularly do you cut them?
Yeah. I haven't cut them in nails now for, I think it's 6 weeks. I'm not sure what to do with the nails. Now when you cut your toenails, I'm not sure where to do it or what to do
with
the nails.
I'm with you on that.
Do you ever think where your nails are at the moment, like nails that you cut off like 10 years ago? I sometimes think, I wonder what happened to those nails. Maybe in a rubbish dump somewhere, or maybe at the bottom of the English Channel. Whatever happened to the fucking toenail?
There's a bit of Trevor living on.
Yeah, that's right.
It could be a bit of you in each continent.
And hair, where does your hair go?
Yeah, exactly. Like you could be inhaling Hitler's last breath. As we speak.
I just suddenly became overcome with anti-Semitism.
And then it's also the same with what you're made up of atoms, aren't you? That might have been. You might have been a part of you might have been a T-Rex.
So we went to the zoo.
Yeah.
And do you want to go through his homework? Because you weren't there, Cole.
Yeah. And obviously, yeah, because I didn't go to the zoo. Partly because of...
Well, give you more reasons.
But also, yeah, I'm not against, you know, animal preservation. I think that's a very noble thing. But I think a lot of zoos, there are animals that trouble me that they're there.
There's a lot...
They're not there for preservation. They're there for entertainment.
I mentioned it in my poem.
Because you were telling me in the cab up, did you used to have pet... Yeah, you like reptiles.
I love reptiles. Yeah, I had lots of lizards. Lizards were my favourite thing. I had sleepy lizards, drop-tail lizards. I used to have a big box of lizards, like little drop tails, a shoe box. I'd take them around like a doll. I just fucking. I was about how old? About 10 or 11. Yeah. But it had all these little lizards.
Pre-disco boots.
Starts to work out why the ladies weren't quick to get off.
He's that weird geezer with a box of lizards.
His yellow trousers and his box of lizards.
I thought they were beautiful. And
they are. I love a lizard.
And they had little drop-tail lizards. Now when you pick them up, the tail drops off and they fucking do a bolt.
Is that what they do?
Every time you grab by the tail, they just grow a new tail?
Yeah, that's right.
That's great. It's a great magic trick.
How long does it take them to regrow them?
Not long at all, because they don't live that long, so it has to be fucking quick. I'd say to grow a brand new tail probably takes fully formed tail probably a week, I suppose.
So you had a box of lizards, and then didn't you say something?
How many lizards were in this box?
Oh, I had a couple of dozen, and then it was quite small, I had a bit of grass in there so they could feel, fucking relax a bit.
Just a sprinkle of grass.
But I remember I fell asleep with them. I used to take them to bed with me and have my little fucking shoebox of lizard, just like a doll.
It's one of the creepiest images ever. It's a kid sleeping with a box.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a box. What's in it?
I woke up one morning, a fucking box had overturned in the night. Wow, fucking lizards everywhere, lizards. All in my underpants and pyjamas.
In your underpants?
Yeah, they were down there fucking burrowing into my scrotum or something. They were fucking everywhere.
That explains a lot about, you know, like Spider-Man was bitten by a spider and got radioactive. Is that why you've got like slightly weird sort of perversions that you just...
probably the lizard factor comes into it. I had a sleepy lizard, which was like quite a big lizard, that got a very nasty bite. You have to know how to pick them up, otherwise you get bitten and they don't let go.
Yeah, that was it. Didn't you say they have to...
You have to cut their head off or set fire to them or some shit.
What? They bite you?
Yeah.
And they won't let go for anything?
Yeah. They just clamp on and they hurt. It's like, they've got no teeth, they've got gums. But if you can imagine someone real powerful gums squeezing on your finger, it fucking hurts. Like, and after 10 minutes, it's fucking agony. So then you have to try and, you can't get the jaws off, but that's when you have to sort of do something rather vicious to them to get them off your finger.
What size are we talking about?
Oh, about that long.
Because I always wanted an iguana, but they grow to, you know, the size of this table.
Yeah, they're fucking massive, aren't they?
So every week we give you a questionnaire to fill out based on your homework. How you got on. Your first answer tends to be one syllable, which is nice. Did you enjoy your homework this week? Yes. What did you enjoy the most? You said writing the poem, though I could not have done it without going to the zoo. So the zoo was equally good part, apart from the cold. But I could not have written the poem without the cold, as that is the premise of the poem. Now I'm confused.
Yeah, sure.
What do you enjoy the least? The cold and the trip home on the bus, which was slow and tedious.
Yeah.
Was it rush hour?
Yeah, rush hour, yeah.
Rush hour on a bus. That's the only day. That's the annoying. Like, rush hour on the tube is packed and horrible.
It's over quick.
Over quicker.
I get very stressed. I feel like I'm going to go into like Bruce Lee mode on that fucking bus, mate. I'll start doing
start
kicks
hitting people.
Fucking knocking people. Oh, just horrendous, isn't it?
It is brutal. Like, because it's weird. London as a city has zero queuing policy, doesn't it?
Yeah, we talked about this on a bus. Hannah, from my wife, who was with us at the zoo in Edinburgh, you always get there. You get in a queue system. Every other part, Nottingham, same thing.
Yeah.
London, it is a free for all.
Did you make any new friends? We wrote. You said, no, I do not like people. I never go out of my way to befriend them. Though I wish I could have got to know the gorilla a little better.
Oh, yeah?
What happened with the gorilla?
It attacked us, didn't it? But it had the glass there.
We were talking about, right? So the gorilla was in a small arena, but what they've done is on the glass, it looked like.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They painted like green leaves. So it looked like an estate agent was trying to give the illusion of space the gorilla. But the gorilla, obviously, had worked out quite quickly.
Can the gorilla see you through the glass? Is it mirrored?
Can it see us? Well, it came up to us and smashed the window and scared me a lot.
But is it doing that because it can see its own reflection, maybe? Are they mirrored? I don't know how zookeepers work.
I think for the sake of stimulation, the animals would have to have something to look at outside the cage. Otherwise, they'd go fucking stir crazy or whatever gorillas do.
Yeah.
So I think they need something happening outside they could view.
You could take anyone except Julia Crystal Cole on the trip. Who would it be and why? You said Chris's wife. She was lovely.
Yeah, yeah. You and my wife started to get worried. You and my wife were getting on very well, actually.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, I didn't like the way you said that, Trev.
Yeah. No, she's a lovely woman. Yeah, very sweet.
Yeah, I've done well. She was singing your praises as well.
She said she
wants to look after you, Trev. You've got that.
That's great. I'm there looking after. Fuck, yeah. Two women would be great, wouldn't it? Two. She's lovely.
I kept waiting for a dirty turn now. I'm glad you kept it above.
The lack of dirtiness made it even
I'm
more.
I'm glad you kept it above the waist.
Oh,
is there a butterfly room at London
Zoo? We didn't get to that.
I always find that's... I really like butterflies.
Some artist in Australia did that thing where he had butterflies and they all fucking... Most of them died because of the stress. You know?
Really?
Mm.
They check their blood pressure and then they
look stressed. Like blood pressure. It's as beautiful as they are to look at as a creature. They look stressed the way they fly around.
Yeah. It's not graceful. They're never gliding. Yeah, they're always having an epileptic fit the whole time. All the colours they're seeing don't help either.
Their self-esteem plummeted, didn't they? So they thought they were moths or some shit by the end.
There's some really pretty moths as well.
Oh, is that all
right? I recently saw that one of them BuzzFeed things. It's like 25 really cool moths.
25 fittest moths. You know, when I was in Malaysia once and I got told that you should never kill a moth because it's actually a dead relative visiting you. Have you heard
that? That's horrible.
That is horrible.
Fucking hell.
Why is that horrible? I mean, that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, you get paranoid about crawling in your ear when you're asleep. Absolutely. You ever done that? Yeah.
It's scary.
I thought they'd... I said to the doctor, is there any chance of an insect going in your ear and just crawling around your fucking head? He said, no, because it's blocked off. You know what I mean? It can't get past that blockage.
Your doctor must be the most patient person that you went in for that. Yeah. Hey, doc, you're right. Just a quick one. Won't keep me long.
Can an insect... This isn't about his blood pressure. This one is about insects, mate. I know Daniel got bit on a penis by what he thought was an earwig once.
the earwig sat nav was clearly off and it went to the wrong body part. It's like, this ear, it's a lot longer.
Fucking cockwig.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It's got a couple of bollocks attached to it.
What are these? It's probably gone, what the fuck, these are strange fucking earrings, aren't they?
Why is his ear sticking piss? It's horrible. Yeah. Oh man. You were telling me when we tried to see the zebra, we didn't see it. Mm. And then you told me about, was there somewhere in Gaza or something?
Oh, yeah. Just, I had it on the news in Australia. It was like, it was pitiful. You know, like the people of Gaza are having a bad time and the Hamas or whatever got together and said, we'll have a fucking zoo. And
say the edge off the wall.
Yeah, yeah. And they just couldn't afford all the animals.
No, right? I've heard Gaza Zoo is the worst on earth.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah. And so I had the... Well, then they had this, it wasn't a zebra, they got a donkey painted stripes on it. I go, for fuck's sake, someone give them a fucking zebra. You know, we should get a fucking collection going and just have a fucking zebra.
Donkeys have got it hard, haven't they?
Donkeys, yeah.
I know, it's a weird thing to just come out with. No, that's what I said it.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I mean, their nickname's an ass.
It's but I just think they look like, just, they might, like, you know.
Carry Jesus and get very little credit for it.
I think they're a bit too stubborn for their own good.
But they're not far off a horse, but the reverence for horses is much. You know,
and a pony.
These beautiful, graceful things and ponies. But donkeys, no one gives a shit about donkeys.
A bit like the moth of the fucking horse world, isn't it?
Well, actually, I did write a poem about the zoo, and the silverback was looking over my shoulder as I wrote a very tense situation.
Should we do the poem?
Should we have there? Let's have Trevor's
poem of the week.
Poem of the week, because at the moment.
Yeah, I'm very prolific.
I mean, very prolific poet.
I know. Are you enjoying writing the poem?
Oh, yeah, I do. I like poetry, yeah. I fucking know you to write it. All the time. But,
so you've really curveballed us with this as well. We just thought it'd be...
Trevor Zoo Poem, it's called.
There you go.
I went to the zoo today for the sake of our podcast, a ruse to get me out of the house, off my lazy ass. I arrived at the zoo, the windchill factor up and the temperature descending. I wanted back on the sofa. It was useless pretending. The light was fading, gone almost. My ears felt like seashells on the Arctic coast. I entered the gate, keen for a view to see what the critters inside were up to, all mic'd up with a story to tell. Would the bitter cold affect the animals as well? In for a shock, in for a surprise, I couldn't believe my eyes. The kangaroos were hopping around with their hands in their pockets. Two parakeets huddled together were dreaming of the tropics. I saw a giraffe in a scarf looking quite toasty, and there was a tortoise in a tea cosy. A silverback in an anorak lamented his bad luck and failure. He'd been sent here to the cold and the drear, and his cousin sent to Australia. But the saddest sight that brought a lump to my throat was a polar bear in an overcoat. Can anything be done about this tragic situation, all in the name of animal conservation? A zoo and a jail are the same, I've been told, but a human at least gets out on parole. I left in a quandary, a heavy question posed. Should such a place be open or closed? I could come back for another try, but I'd choose another date. July.
Mm. Mate, again, Trev. That is
excellent.
This is going to be our merch. Is going to be the poetry signed poems of Trevor Crook.
That was great.
That was really good.
Yeah,
that was spot on, Trev.
Before I did stand up, I used to write poems and songs and short stories.
It's lovely. But the reason also we sent you to the zoo is because I remember last when we first met you, you told us about. Because obviously from Australia, I thought as a joke, like, people that have pet kangaroos, but you told us...
The one who had a fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, the karate master. Wasn't a master, just an idiot. But he had a pet kangaroo in a cage, yeah, he brought it up from a joey. And
What size was the cage? I remember you...
Oh, the cage wasn't... Oh, fuck, the cage wasn't that big, about this corner.
Oh, really small. So what's that, about 10 by 10 foot?
Slightly
smaller than Trevor's bedroom.
Yes, that's right. And he brought it up from a little thing and probably abused it. It didn't fucking like him. And given the chance, fucking the kangaroo laid into him.
Yeah, because people wouldn't have heard this if they hadn't heard you before.
Oh, ironic. No, he's a karate bloke and he had a barbecue at his place in the Adelaide Hill. He's worth a lot of money, Frank Griggs. And he had the karate. He had like the 10th down there was Yamaguchi, the cat. And they called him the cat because they reckon he killed a tiger with his bare hands. but I think he's bullshitting. That's what I thought anyway. And anyway, he thought he'd impress the master because he said, well, Yamaguchi fought a tiger, fuck it, I can at least fight a kangaroo.
So Yamaguchi like an old Asian guy?
Yeah, he's an old 10th man from Japan. And he had the kangaroo in the cage. He brought it up since he was like a joey, they call it, like a baby kangaroo. Yeah. So he'd obviously abused it. So he decided to go into the cage with the kangaroo and fight it. So he to prove how brave he was, he locked himself in there with the kangaroo. He got in there, locked it, and then he flicked the keys into the brush. And then the kangaroo did the old fucking, you know, ready for fucking fight mode, and then kangaroo's quite big, it was like 6 foot. And it just suddenly just started to kick the fuck out of him. He was screaming like a pig, and he said, "Let me out!" Yeah, and fucking kangaroos fucking laying into him, and he was screaming, and they couldn't find the key. The key was in the brush, and they frantically
in the bush.
Yeah, in the brush, and
so confident, isn't it?
They were trying to get the key, and they couldn't, and the kangaroo just made a mess out of Frank. And eventually, they did get him out. And,
they saved him.
Yeah, we had to go to hospital in a bad way. The kangaroo just looked fucking big claws. And
did they keep the kangaroo afterwards?
Well, I'm not quite sure, actually. I'm not quite sure.
Did Frank never hung out of him again?
No. He's not the sort of bloke. He didn't really train. He was like the entrepreneur that established karate.
Right.
The millionaire, nothing better
to
do.
He's like the Cobra Kai.
I should tell you the story when I was a karate instructor. True story, this. I was in Canberra. And I used to teach karate. I'd main club with a couple of mates, but at that time I didn't have one. I used to do private lessons occasionally. So this woman, she was a mutual friend of a friend. So she showed up to my place and she said, she was Vietnamese in her 30s, and she said, "Trevor, I want to learn karate private lessons, but I got no money. But I'll give you a hand job for each lesson." as a martial arts instructor, you're supposed to have some kind of ethics and fucking like a moral position on it. So I said, "All right, fuck it, who cares? So, you can't let morality get in the way of a good time, can you? Fuck that."
Put that on a T-shirt. Yeah. Trevor Crook, your face. Don't let morality get in the way of a good time.
So she gives me a hand job, right? And
pre-lesson. Oh, you're not going to be teaching much.
She comes up. No, she's supposed to come on a Thursday for the lesson. The hand job was on a Tuesday, so she's supposed to come on. So I logged her in, and she was. But she didn't show up. Didn't fucking show up. Didn't show up for the lesson. So I went over my mate's place. She lived in the same block as flats as him.
Yeah.
And then she showed up as well just about a week later or so. And she said, "I'm sorry I couldn't make it. Fucking something happened. But I still want a lesson." And she said, "What about if I come on Friday for the lesson? But because it wasn't your fault that Thursday I didn't show up. But I'll give you another hand job now if you want one for the lesson on fucking Friday." So I said, "All right, fucking no." So we go over her flat. She gives me a hand job. And then Friday comes. She doesn't fucking show up. She didn't show up again, mate. That was the last I saw of her, and that's like I thought that was a that was a fucking pretty good. That was a better business deal than the Americans buying Manhattan from the Indians, wasn't it? That's you couldn't get a better fucking business deal than that. Never seen her again.
That is some mystery hand.
Something is a legitimate form of currency. Myself, I do.
That is so weird. She might have just really liked giving handjobs out. Or maybe your lesson clashed when she had to she'd given a driving she had to give a driving instructor a quick blowy and that clashed with your lesson.
She'd be about 70 odd now, she'd be an old woman.
That's a really weird way of ending that.
A romantic move with Julie. Well, I mean, beans on toast is not that romantic, apparently.
Julia gave a few. She's not with us. So you managed to get her.
Oh, no, she's still alive, but she's.
she's just, not. She hasn't escorted you this time.
She sent us an email to an update because there was another little challenge, wasn't there?
Oh, that's
which
right.
Which was you were meant to cook her a meal from scratch.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And we'll see what your side of this after
okay,
she.
Right.
We'll just, a little quote of hers. She sent us a really long email actually, where she explained she also this week did go out and get drunk. She tells us how nice you were about that.
Oh, yeah.
But she said, "You didn't manage to cook, unfortunately." Mm. She said, "I was prepared to let him off with my favourite thing of all time, which is a baked spud and cheese and salad, which a 7-year-old could manage. But let's say the opportunity didn't arise." So you couldn't even manage a baked potato.
No, well, we went to see a John Pilger movie last night, so that was my big opportunity. But then she said, she'd already bought the tickets. Oh, well, fuck it, there goes the dinner.
So you just didn't eat?
No, we didn't. When we got back, she cooked something.
That's what happened there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically she said she went out and got quite drunk this week.
Yeah,
so she's not been fully on her.
Yeah, no.
Keeping tabs on you.
Oh, she was
what happened?
Just rolled in, fell on top of me, and I thought she's had a few. But I went to see Julia Pierce, she's very helpless, and I feel like to take care of her. I don't get angry at all. Okay, she's having a good time. She's out of, and she's quite vulnerable when she's pissed, and so I you know, make sure she's hydrated and tuck her in and treat her nicely.
That's
I wouldn't on a regular basis. I wouldn't put up with it, but
just not, once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while. Yeah,
but they should make sure she's hydrated.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Like a plant or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
she's got enough natural sunlight.
She's really so lovely that when she's drunk, she's like. Can make me laugh. She's quite funny when she's drunk, yeah. And she's quite sweet.
She said, actually, and I quote, "I can't put a price on a man who doesn't remonstrate with me when I roll in pissed, fall asleep on the sofa, stagger off to bed at 11:50, and then start retching noisily from about 6:30.
Yeah,
she got sick drunk.
Yeah, yeah,
that's she's old
sick.
School.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, no, sick drunk. Yep.
Another just a couple of little quotes from Julia. I always fret when he's going places because he's habitually and determinedly disorganised and late and misses trains by not reading the platform indicator.
Yeah, that's right. I was at King Cross Station, and I looked at the platform. Platform and it said zero, so I thought, well, fucking, what's the platform number? You know what I mean? So I'm waiting, and then I'm fucking waiting. It's still fucking zero. When are they going to fucking put the platform number up? And then someone said, no, that's the fucking platform number.
Yeah.
Are they going to have a platform number fucking zero? It's ridiculous.
It's true. Actually, I'm
sort of with you on that.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the end of episode two.
You enjoyed it, Jeff?
I enjoy this. It's fucking good fun.
We'll set you some more homework for this week.
No worries.
Get your wife's opinion to check how truthful you're being.
Maybe you can make her a little meal again this week.
So that was the end of episode two.
Yeah. He did all right. He did all right.
In terms of I took him to the zoo.
Yeah. What I mean is he made me laugh.
He
sounds like he enjoyed the zoo.
Enjoyed the zoo.
Poem about it was great again.
You like that?
We found a poet.
He liked my wife.
Your wife probably made that zoo trip much better for him.
If we could always, because he also likes your girlfriend as well, if we could always sort of put our wives or girlfriends in a situation with him. If we put them on the tube, he might get the tube next time.
That's true. I don't think he'll get on the tube.
No, he won't get on the tube.
He'll never get on
the tube. So he quite liked the zoo. He turned up because it was a good poem.
Yeah.
The
meal didn't go to plan.
His excuse of there being no opportunity.
Well, no opportunity, but then it sort of turns out there was an opportunity. I also get the vibe that Julia doesn't want him to cook her a meal. I'm starting to think
Julia
she's quite
dubious. Want to die of poisoning.
Yeah. I think she's scared as to what he'll do or what he'll put in it. So, I mean, I'm gonna get him to do this again, I think. I just think it's something that would be a good progress for him to actually, you know, just do something properly nice for... I think cooking for somebody is really nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, for your partner. It's a nice gesture, so...
Should we go ep 3? You want to try and make
I'm going to try and get him to do it again this week because I think he can do it. I think he's looking for an out at the minute, but this is what we're here for.
Yeah,
we've got to get him to do things he doesn't want to do.
So ep 3, I'm going to get him to just... still quite an easy one for him. This is easy, but it just sounds like he needs it. Get a pedicure, mate.
For them crazy, crazy pincers,
Falcon-esque feet sorted, mate.
We need
to
get a photo of them because they literally poke out of his trainers.
It's horrible. It's horrible. So that's going to be ep 3. I'm going to get him to go for pedicure. You're going to get make sure he makes the meal.
Yeah, yeah.
Highlights from this episode. Things you didn't know about Trev.
I mean, probably my favourite is the box of lizards. Just
mate.
A kid with a box of lizards. That is the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
He held it like a doll. He said, it's weird.
Shoebox. It must be really uncomfortable to sleep with just holding a shoebox.
He's like
especially if it's full of lizards.
He's like a paradox. He's a creepy kid. And then he tells us a story about the fucking handjob fairy. The woman who just gave him two handjobs and he never saw her again.
I know.
There you go. That shows Trevor's relationship. Guys, if you enjoyed the podcast, only two little things we want you to do, aren't there, Carl?
Yes. One is go on iTunes, give us a rating. Obviously of a high rating.
Don't give us a one star. Don't be a hater.
If you've made it this far in the podcast, why are you dishing out one stars? You should have tapped out ages ago.
Like some reviewer just at home, glasses, just like notepad.
Give us a nice review. Tell your friends. And what else can they do?
And then if you just go on Twitter. I don't know if people are still on Twitter. It's probably Instagram now, mate. Yeah.
I'm on Twitter.
I'm still on it.
I can't get around Instagram, mate.
I like its photo. Anyway, whatever. Just go on Twitter, type in @babysittingtrev.
Yep.
And then suggest new tasks for season two. We will then whittle down our favourite ones and make Trev do them.
That'd be really fun.
It's good.
I mean, nothing too crazy.
No.
Within the realms of reality. Right.
Right. See you
Cheers
guys next,
for listening,
next
guys. See you soon.
Bye.
Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook and is produced by Joel Porter.
Hold up. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.